Joining us now on the line as it's time for our golf business and law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I, of course, not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. But joining us now is our good buddy, the sports professor, Rick Haro. He is a visiting expert on sports law at Harvard. You can watch him each week on CNN and ESPN. You can listen to him on Fox Sports Radio each week, and also every Sunday morning right here with us on the Golf Exchange. You can also find Rick's weekly podcast and blog at msn.foxsports.com.
Is he making you say all this?
This is ridiculous. Now, our good buddy, the sports professor, Rick Haro. Good morning, Rick.
Hi, Russ. How are you, Rooney? You know what? I'm really, really excited for the last few weeks. I know why. Because how do we pay to make this temporary hiatus be permanent for you, pal?
I don't know.
You know what? How are you? Everything is good. You're not going up to the Steelers' big-time game against Buffalo on Thursday, I know.
Wish I could. Unfortunately, one of my other non-paying jobs, not this one. This is actually one of my few paying jobs that I have with the South Florida Water Management. This is board meeting week, so the whole week is water-related fun stuff for
me. I already tried to get him to play golf Thursday at Bear Lakes, and he said, no can do. I'm tied up all week talking about water.
Yes. Well, maybe you and I'm going to stay in town. I'm not going, so you and I'll talk.
Maybe we can do that. Rick.
But I just got back from a CNN. We did the normal Olympic piece of this, and they also want to talk about golf as an Olympic event, which will be a fantastic thing, by the way. And everybody is saying, does Chicago have to win the bid first or not? We've talked about that before, but we'll revisit it again before the Olympics.
Well, I definitely do want to talk a little Olympics here towards the end, but let's start with the PGA Championship, because you were in Detroit earlier this week for the 90th edition of the PGA Championship, and this PGA looking more like a USGA production, as Reese Jones, the Open doctor who redid Torrey Pines in advance for the U.S. Open this year. He also redid Oakland Hills, 7,400-yard par 70 layout. They call it the Monster, and it's been playing like that through two-plus rounds of play, although both Pat and I agree that the conditions today will probably be a little easier because of all the water. The course will be more receptive. But PGA Championship, the 90th edition, Rick, how's it been going so far this weekend up in Detroit?
Well, it must have been a curse, okay, because when I was there, I looked at some of the business issues, and there are 50 hospitality chalets all up and down 1 and 18 and other places. And if you know the Oakland Hills layout, the clubhouse looks like Mount Vernon, which was George Washington's home, and then everything else is a first class typical upper Midwest course, which is gorgeous and tree lined and stuff that you and I would double bogey and Rooney would probably bogey. But we were talking a little bit about the deal and corporations. Those 50 corporations that made commitments did it before Tiger's injury, and they couldn't get out of it. So they put on their game face and said, yeah, we're happy with all of this stuff. And they were selling for as much as $500,000 per for the week for primo locations, the big law firms, Jones Day. I was at the Squire Sanders one, but then they moved up to Michigan, and they still have deals up there. And, there is a buzz. It's not as much of a buzz as it would be with a Tiger major. The economic impact looks like $50 million. If Tiger was there, it would have been $70 million, but they were still happy. You know what they told me? They said, boy, the wonderful thing about this week is I looked at the forecast, and everybody said it's going to be a wonderful rain-free 4 days. What do you think of that? We now have the first 36-hole Sunday in a major in 30 years because of the rain.
Hey, Rick, just you mentioned, with Tiger not being there and his impact and the sponsors, already locked in prior to Tiger's injury. It made me curious, like going into next year at Torrey Pines for the Buick or at Bay Hill or all the tournaments that Tiger usually plays in before the Masters. Is it possible for the lesser sponsors of those events, obviously not Buick, but the lesser sponsors of those events to say, well, we're going to pay you X amount, which would be the rate we would expect to pay if Tiger plays in this, but if he doesn't play, we're going to pay you another amount. Are they allowed to have those types of things in contracts just strictly with Tiger because of his presence being such an impact on an event?
Very good question. And you're allowed to do whatever you want to do commercially in order to bring a sponsor to the table. Most tournaments, I suspect, will say, we're not going to do that. But then, if there's a sponsor that wants to come into the fold for the first time that has never been there before, they'll make that accommodation. So one of the things I did on my Moneyball show last week is an example of deals that the Premier League has done in soccer. that have said, if you perform a certain way and win, then you get X amount. If you don't, you get X minus. And everybody said, oh, that'll never happen. But guess what? They've just been signed. So there is a precedent across the pond for that kind of thing. And you would say, it'll never happen here. But then again, we've never had anybody like Tiger.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Our good friend, the sports professor Rick Haro, joining us as he does each and every week. Rick, yesterday I was getting ready to watch the third round of the 90th PGA Championship, and I pretty much watched the final round, and I enjoyed it, but I pretty much watched the final round of the 2000 PGA Championship. Bob May and Tiger Woods going at it mano-a-mano down the stretch at Valhalla. It was brilliant by CBS to show us the 2000 PGA, of course, because the venue, Valhalla, which will be the venue for the Ryder Cup a month from now. But the point remains, CBS probably lost a lot of eyes yesterday because of the rain delay. Started at 2:15 and then lasted all the way through till 7 o'clock. So, you know, effectively Jim Nantz and Nick Faldo were killing time most of the afternoon. How will that affect TV ratings? And then what happens today when TNT comes on the air at 11 a.m. likely that the ratings for that 3-hour window between 11 and 2 for TNT won't be that great because it's, you know, morning and mid-afternoon, and then CBS comes on at 2 through the duration of play, which will likely be past 8 o'clock.
Well, the ratings will be pretty good for the end of the tournament. You know, Nielsen has ratings that depend on what hour it is. This will be a tournament that's very hour specific. So at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I guarantee you anybody that's watching CBS, with no disrespect to you, has no life, or at least had nothing else to do, right?
So, or it's just a crazy golfer.
A crazy golfer. I'll bet you 10 grand, okay, that Tiger makes that 10-foot putt to go into the playoff. What do you think with Bob May? You want to bet that?
Yeah, I think he made it, yeah.
Yeah, I think he made it too. But, yeah, I think TNT's ratings relative to what they could have been are going to be pretty good because this morning, because everybody knows that you have a lot of golf left. And that post 60 minutes period, which is always the highlight of the primetime rating Sunday, will be really big. So if you want to look at 7 to 8 tonight, minimized by the fact that the Olympics primetime doesn't come on until then, there is a window from 7 to 8 tonight that, if it's at all competitive, would have been good or better than compared to what it would have been otherwise, not with Tiger, because that's an entirely different thing, but a Tigerless 7 to 8 p.m. CBS is a 60 minutes. A Tigerless rain-delayed one is the end of the tournament today. So I think it's going to even out. And by the way, hey, Rooney, can we pass the hat and spend some money and send this guy to law school really quickly, if only on a correspondence course?
Or I could start introducing the segment anyway.
Really? I hate hearing it three times a segment. I already know he's not
a
lawyer.
He doesn't want to get in trouble with the bar.
He's right. Not a lot of things, but that doesn't mean he gets on and says he's not a lot
I'm
of things.
I'm crossing my T's and dotting my
and
I's.
And dotting your
sure,
Q's and crossing
sure
your P's.
The Florida bar is very happy with the way that we present this segment.
Rick, are you a lawyer or are you a non-lawyer spokesman? What are you?
I'm the latter.
Yeah, good, thank you. Bye.
Rick, you did not go to the British Open this year, correct?
I was 3 for 4 this year.
Okay, so this is the first major you've gone to in a long time that Tiger was not at, correct?
Well put.
All right, so what? Give me the feel, the atmosphere, the buzz or lack thereof. What was the aura at Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, without Tiger there for the first time in 12 years or whatever?
MLB, much less buzz. And the bottom line of that is that, you know, everybody's talking about it, but when you see J.B. Holmes, I mean, no disrespect to those guys, you know that, but, and David Toms, no disrespect to him, but the PGA Championship, they were saying, is always the one where the new guys come out of the pack, the Bob May almost, the Sean McKeel, how about that shot, et cetera, et cetera. And this year, you know, is it going to be we, not the Michelle type, but this guy, is it going to be J.B. Holmes? Is it going to be Sergio? It'll be an interesting leaderboard crowded with B-level guys.
You know, even Tiger's disappointed. And, you know, it, different from the British, Padraig Harrington was the defending champion of the British. And he, you know, kudos to him. He backed it up and won again in impressive fashion, 4 under par over the last four holes, including that eagle on 17. But, you know, for this major, Tiger was the defending champion. Not only the defending champion, he was the two-time defending champion. So I think a little more disappointment that he didn't get to tee it up for the PGA than for the British a month ago. And even he said he was disappointed. He said he wasn't going to watch any of the coverage this weekend because he was so disappointed that he couldn't defend his title there at Oakland Hills. So, you know, that's kind of a different caveat than what we saw a month ago at the British.
He better stay on that darn treadmill, and he better get better, because if he's not back for the Masters next year, I'm going to watch water polo.
Well, Rick, interesting. I'm reading Golf Week this week that one of their little snippet things says the golf industry is down because major equipment companies are reporting double-digit U.S. sales declines and rounds are down. Rounds played are down 2.1% from 2007. Now, I just attribute that to the economy and golf being kind of a luxury type thing and it being as expensive as it is, blah blah blah. That factors into it, but how much? Does Tiger not being – I mean, are we seeing any kind of a downturn already with Tiger's absence in the amount of golf being played and being watched and being spent on?
You are one of the world's best businessmen, so, you understand what it means to have a market correction. This is a market correction. I think at the end of the day, I've been saying it, that after Tiger gets back middle of next year, the golf business is going to be stronger for having Tiger not in it this year, so people have to be creative. When you take a look at it, as I said, the hospitality packages were sold out. The Golf Channel saw their ratings growth increase about 5%, Tiger or no Tiger. So people are taking the extra step and going the extra mile for life without Tiger. The bottom line is, who knows how much of it is the economy? Listen to my stockbroker and world peace is around the corner and stocks are going up. So, who knows?
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. Our good buddy, the sports professor Rick Haro, who is an attorney, joining us on the line as he does each and every week. Rick, before we let you go, I do want to get one thought from you on the Olympics. And my wife and I watched the opening ceremonies Friday night and they were phenomenal. It was just an amazing production there from Beijing. That stadium, 95,000 and plus its seats is just, they call it the bird's nest. It's really an architectural marvel. But NBC is using 106 announcers over the next 18 days for their coverage, including Bob Costas and Matt Lauer. If you recorded every minute of Olympic competition that is available over the next 2+ weeks on NBC and their 6 other TV networks and also NBCOlympics.com, it would take 150 days to watch everything that you recorded. That's 24 hours a day for 5 months, over 3,000 hours of coverage over 6 TV networks and online. And here's the stat that just blew me away. The last 12 Summer Olympics between 1960 and 2004, the total TV coverage of all those 12 Olympics combined, 2,565. That's over 500 fewer average of coverage than we will have over the next 18 days from Beijing.
Yeah, exactly. You should have had a head start yesterday instead of watching the Bob May thing. We knew where that was. You should have watched some of the stuff that you've already
TiVo'd. I was watching some of the gymnastics and the swimming. I saw Michael Phelps win his first gold of what will hopefully be 8.
Yeah, well, and I memorized all of the names of the 2008 drummers from the opening ceremony, so I scored that and put it in, color coding and stuff, so that was good. So, yeah, hey, it's a bigger deal than ever, $1.7 billion in media revenue profits for the IOC, $3 billion in, $3 billion out for the advertisers and NBC through 2012. We've all got big numbers, but the biggest comment I have is, what's with Bob Costas' hair? Did you notice that? I mean, has he dyed his hair?
He's starting to look old. For the very first time, Rick, he is starting to look old. I thought he'd be just living forever, like, is that young guy, but he's starting to look old.
One guy that's not looking old is Rick Haro. He's still young at heart, and he's still doing a great job. Rick, as always, thank you very much. We're out of time. We usually burn up all the time with you, but we'll talk to you next week.
All right, call you about Thursday. Call me.
Sounds good.
Bye.
There he is, the sports professor Rick Haro, during our golf business and law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am, of course, not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins.